When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
There's a report today in the Post, BT, that indicates that the Giants might be doing one of the things they just cannot do. I mean, we've talked about this all season long. If they are going to make a change in their hierarchy, it should be both out. You can't have one stay and the other go. And, a matter of fact, if you're going to keep them, then make the decision to keep them and keep them beyond just next year. So Mara's got to figure out what he wants to do. But the one thing he cannot do, and Paul Schwartz alluded to this in his column, is that there is a possibility that Joe Shane can stay and Brian Daboll can go. I mean, if they do that, I give up. How many times you got to do the same thing and not understand that that's a mistake? Either fire them both and start fresh with the top pick, or keep them both. You cannot halfway it.
Yeah, listen, Mara can't do what's easy. He's got to do what's right here. And by every measurable, Joe Shane has failed colossally. Now, I understand what you wouldn't do is bring back Daboll and get rid of the GM, because that makes no sense for the new hire.
Right.
But what they should not do is what you just said. I don't understand the justification. I thought about this and I looked for avenues where I'm like, yeah, you know, he really deserves a shot. I don't know what Joe Shane's done to distinguish himself at this job. I really don't. Now, we don't see him on game day. We see the head coach and we see the product. Now, the product has been put together by Joe Shane, and the product stinks. That's number one. Number two, when we did see Joe Shane, he didn't exactly come across as incredibly in charge and competent on Hard Knocks. So I don't know what you know. I believe the reporting for sure. Schwartz been around the team for a long time and he's reputable. I don't understand how this could be a discussion. Shane back and not Daboll? Right. There's no way.
How many times have you and I talked about and said, who do you trust is better at their job moving forward? Or who do you think has done more even so far? And the answer for both of us, this is back when I wanted Daboll and Shane to stay.
Yeah.
And you were like, I'm not sure.
Yep.
But the answer was always...
It was always the head coach.
Yeah, Dable's at least done more. Like, I believe more firmly in Daboll. Now, again, this is going back weeks ago, so ask me now. I don't know how anybody, and look, I'm with you, Mr. Mara. Like, I don't want you to make any changes. I wanted to have some stability for a change. I thought the best thing was to stay the course with Shane and Daboll. However, you have to be open to different thought process after you're watching a team that's 2-12. Like, at 2-5 or whatever it was, it's a different story. They stink. There is, do you think Dable's been a good offensive mind? The answer is no. What is there to hang your hat on? And then you're going to tell me that, okay, well, somebody's got to be a scapegoat, which everybody should be a scapegoat when you have a season this bad. Their worst season in the franchise 100-year history. Haven't won a game at home, division, they're an embarrassment. Okay, fine. You can scapegoat Dable, but keep Joe Shane. Why? What has he done? He's been terrible, too. Why? Because this draft looked good this year? Joe Shane has been an embarrassment with those top picks. Come on. You got a clean house here.
I get it. I've been saying it for a while that they don't deserve to be back. They don't. Now, two things you can't do as an owner. You can't placate fans. You can't try to placate fans.
Right.
I'm not saying you don't throw them a bone occasionally just to make sure that they don't, you know, make a U-turn on the season ticket sales. But you can't operate just by placating fans, and you can't operate by doing what's easy. I admit this is hard. I admit this is counter to what he wants to do.
What do you think's the easy thing to do?
I think the easy thing would be the easy/lazy thing would be to bring them both back. That's the easy. It's also the wrong thing.
I don't know if that's the easy thing. I think the easy thing might just be to clean house again. But in this particular case, I happen to think that that's the right thing. The one thing you can't, like, the hard thing to do would be to say in the face of everybody, the media and fans saying, clean house, saying, I'm sticking with these guys. So there might be a reward that's paid at the end of that, but that means you have to stick with them. You cannot, under any circumstance, halfway it. How can you just, that's the worst thing. Either keep them or fire them both. You can't say I'm keeping Shane, but yeah, firing
Dable. No, there's no way I would do that. By the way, just to clarify, like when I say do what's easy,
right,
I mean from Mara's perspective. The easy thing for Mara, sure, he's going to hear it, or if he even cares about what's said on the radio or on social media, and I'm sure his postseason press conference would be a bit uncomfortable, but easy for him in terms of not having to interview four, I five, six people. That's what
more
I mean.
More comfortable
now,
just saying.
Yeah, that's, he could just go to his palace or just detach himself from the situation and really not have to worry about anything, even though I would think 90%+ of the Giants fan base is incredibly, I was going to say disgruntled, but I honestly believe, and I've used the word a few times pertaining to the Jets, I believe it's more apathetic. I think that the Giants fan, that, and I blame them, this is not a knock, this is the reality of where they are. They've lost their bite, they've lost their edge. That's not their fault. It's ownership's fault. It's the team's fault. It's the franchise's fault. Giant fans are amazing, but Giant fans are no longer locked in the way that they used to be because there's nothing to lock into. So I think, again, when I look at, if I'm John Mara, I just take one, and it's going to suck because it's a lot of work and it's another cycle of upheaval, more volatility, which he's trying to get away from. I understand that. He doesn't want to be the Jets. That's what always distinguished the Giants from the Jets. More stability, more consistency, fewer firings. Just that's more like the Steelers, okay? But the right thing to do here is to, well, due respect, Shane, Dable, both gone, move on.
And to me, that wouldn't have been the way that I would have gone. But, like, circumstances changed. This has gone so far off the rails. When he said, I don't anticipate making any changes, you and I had the conversation to start the show, and you're like, yeah, but he said I don't anticipate. That means a lot can change. And I was like, no, he's going to keep these guys. But also, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, they're going to right the ship a little bit. They're not going to be a playoff team, but they're also not going to be the worst team in football. They have been, since then, the worst team in football. I'd love to make a case. I want Shane and Dable back, okay? Let's just play that part. How can I make the case to keep them back? How? Who can do that? I don't care if it's Tiki. I don't care if it's hot. Give me the big Carl Banks. Give me the case. Like, I want the biggest Giant fan in the world and make a case to tell me why, based on merit over 3 years, you would keep Joe Shane and Brian Dable. You can't, because I wanted to make that argument. They made it impossible for me going back to after the Seahawks game where they played well in that game, even losing to the Bengals. You know, the Eagles was a different story. Losing to the Steelers competitive, again losing to Washington, losing to the Panthers. It was like, remember, on and on and on. It just kept getting worse, losing to the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, the game against the Saints. Like, it hasn't stopped. They can't score. They can't move the ball. Their defense has been highly overrated coming into the year. They haven't done anything. There's not one thing you can hang your hat on and say, Sal, this is what I believe in here. There's nothing. You can't do it. It's impossible.
If you look at the roster, Sal, that's where the work of the GM obviously comes up. It's the worst roster in football. If you look at the offense, and I think, by the way, we're not the only ones saying that. I think if you were really to talk to respected NFL people, personnel people around the league, you know, 1 through 50, whatever, the Giants roster is the worst. And then when you look at, you know, Dable, and you look at the, you know, what he was supposed to be, this offensive, you know, innovative mind, and obviously Josh Allen, make it seem like Brian Dable made Josh Allen out to be Josh Allen. Stop with that nonsense. Now we all know it's true. But if his calling card's offense, I think the Giants' offense was better when they wore leather helmets and didn't have face masks.
Right.
It was probably better. This Giants' offense is unwatchable. It is atrocious. It is toothless. It is benign. It is boring. It is without anything remotely up to the standards of competent, not even good, competent NFL offenses. That's the coach, and the roster stinks. That's the GM.
Yeah, and I think Dable, like, I still do believe Dable has some quality traits.
Can I ask you, what are they at this point? I'm not saying there's none, but what are they?
Well, what I was going to say is I think he would play well more so in the 80s and 90s. I like the fact that he tries to play a game close to the vest, meaning control the ball. Again, they've been limited offensively, but shorten the game up.
Yeah.
Take advantage of others' teams' mistakes. He's not overly aggressive.
But does he want to do that, or does he have to do it based on the roster? Well, I don't even know. I don't think he wants to do that.
But it's 3 years in. It's been the same thing. Yep. And it's actually gotten worse. So I'm not sure. We were supposed to see the offense opened up in year two. We didn't. And you could say injury, sure. But like, it can be an excuse for a few weeks or a season max.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be, well, 2 years in a while, Thomas is banged up again. There are injuries all over the place in the NFL. This regime also chose Daniel Jones. Like, you want to say Mara forced him on a fine? They also chose to bring him back. They also did have success with him in year one. So why then regression from year two and year three from where we were in year one? But my point is, I think Dable is a fiery, passionate, hard-nosed guy who's going to hold his players accountable. I like the way he runs a game,
mm-hmm.
meaning a true head coach. I don't look at him and just say he's a defensive
guy or an
offensive
guy. I know what you're saying. I got you.
And in the game, I'm also antiquated in some of my thoughts. Run the football, shorten the game, let the other team make mistakes. But when you watch today's NFL, as much as I maybe don't want to be open to that or evolve to it, you kind of have to. It's about the offense. It's about innovative offense. So if you're hiring an offensive mind, it better be an innovative. Look at what's going on in Minnesota with O'Connell. Look at what Ben Johnson has done in Detroit. And those are just two examples, but there are plenty of others. McVay, Shannon.
And the Bills' offense is better without. Without Dable,
right.
If you think about it.
I'm not going to take away credit nor give him credit. Like, clearly, he was a part of developing Josh Allen, but nobody can turn Daniel Jones into Josh Allen. Like, there's no such thing as a quarterback whisperer. I've been saying that forever. It's just not a real thing. But does Dable show you an innovative offense at all? You just answered that. Like, when you watch, they're not. So, he's an offensive head coach without an innovative offensive plan.
You got to take it a step further. He's an offensive coach with the worst offense in the history of the Giants.
Exactly.
Come on, man. This isn't like, well, it's an average offense and he's not quite what we thought he'd be. This offense is the worst ever.
So now they hear this and they know this, at the Giants I'm talking about, and they're going to say, okay, well, all the reasons you guys just said, that's why we're going to move on from Brian Dable.
Okay.
But I would counter and say, well, what has Joe Shane done to help him out? Like, you want to move on from Dable? That's fine. I will acknowledge that. I admit that. You have to with a year like this. Like, they left you no choice. Not year one or year two. This is year three and they're having their worst year yet.
Two wins.
And it's been an embarrassment every step of the way.
Yep.
So what has Joe Shane done? Kayvon Thibodeau, total bust. Evan Neal. Like, you can't have a worse bust than Evan Neal, sticking with Daniel Jones, letting Barkley go, even though we thought it was the right move at the time. It proved to be the wrong move. Like, yes, theoretically, it's the right move, but they look bad in the end of this. McKinney, the same thing. Like,
trading for Burns when you're nowhere near being ready to win.
Bingo.
Even though I like Burns the player, it didn't make any sense based on their timeline. None.
Right, so where is Mara potentially getting the
idea that Shane... I don't know. Unless he just doesn't want to deal with both. Like,
even neighbors, I said it at the time, I think it's a bad pick.
You did.
Look where they're at now.
Not him as a player, but based on what they need.
And by the way, him as a player... Maybe not a player, but obviously his attitude has not been great this year. But anyway.
Stuff they're bringing to the table, which, by the way, was addressed in the pre-draft stuff. Yeah. How would you deal with not getting the football? So there was always the antennas up early that maybe it wouldn't be, you know, the most cohesive relationship, even though I do like neighbors. Listen, we'll get to these calls. The bottom line is this. This is an unwatchable, unmitigated mess. And when it gets to that level, and it's not year one, and it's not year two, and it's year three, There is really nothing to decipher. God, I hate to be so blunt, but, man, it's not like they're going to be destitute on the street. They've got more money than we do, and it's not all about money, but they'll be fine. So I do, but I say that
because
that's important to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids will be taken out of schools. I don't take this stuff lightly, really. But there is no reason, zero, to bring back, forget about one, to bring back both. They should both be gone.
Correct. Even worse, though, the worst thing they could do, BT, would be to split them up. Oof. That, to me, would be a disaster. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beat Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Neil is calling from Weehawken. What's up, Neil?
Hey, guys. So, morning. Look. I know, Shane, we're talking about his third draft class. Am I the only one who sees it as he spent a second-round pick, which should be a guy who gets a second contract, is there for 6-7 years? Even if Newbin turns into Xavier McKinney, he's already shown he's going to let him walk. The other good pick, the running back, he's already shown he's going to let him walk. Neighbors is going to walk if we don't fix the quarterback situation, right? So that's one of the reasons I just don't like Shane. Now, the flip side of that, though, is Dable. He does it. I don't hate him. A very, really strong word. I don't dislike him the way it seems a lot of my other fellow fans do. And that's because I see guys running open where the quarterback doesn't pull the trigger. Now, Drew Locke's big selling point was he's got the Jameis Winston trait in him. He's going to throw it deep and he's going to get some touchdowns. And he's also going to give it to the other team every now and then.
Yep.
He's not even doing that. Man. So.
I haven't seen that at all. No. I tell for Jameis Winston offense here. Well, picks at
I
all.
For it.
I mean, they can't, Neil, and thank you for the call. The one issue I have with Neil's call is that I would not look at this year's draft for Shane and say, well, he's not going to keep those guys long term, therefore he's a problem. I would look at overall the way that he's built the roster and the decisions that he's made and say it's almost everyone has been the wrong decision. I'm not talking about every pick. I'm talking about the decision. Here's all you need to know. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll built a team this year that they expected to compete. Forget about what we expected. They expected their team this year to compete. What does that mean, compete? All right, let's say the very least 7-8, all right, high-end 9-10 wins. That's compete. They thought that's how they were building their team. First year aberration in a good way. Second year aberration, bad way. Third year now, you're starting to make more of your mark as a general manager. 3 years in and a head coach. You're here 3 years. Have some pieces in place. They brought neighbors in to help Jones with the offense. Jones is hit back and healthy. Offensive line should be better. Defensive players, they trade for Burns. You got Thibodeau. You got Sexy Dex in the middle. Like, they thought they were going to build a competitive football team. And yet, we're watching the worst team in the history, 100-year history of the New York Giants that can't do anything right. Special teams a disaster, the defense a disaster, the offense a disaster. I don't know how you could justify keeping one of two, if not keeping both. You can't keep any of them.
Well, I think the key point is that pretty much everything is broken. It's not as if we're sitting here, whether it's the Yanks or the Mets, and we're dissecting like, all right, the bullpen's leaky, but they score a ton of runs, or their starting pitching is good and they have a pretty good offense, but the bullpen's been a little whatever. It is everything. I mean, they're a disaster on special teams, they're invisible on offense, and they offer no resistance on football. And by the way, on defense, don't fool yourself. These scores, the Ravens could have won 50-7. The score was 35-7 with 6 minutes to go, and they got that meaningless touchdown, and they've had other cosmetic touchdowns this year because the other team has taken their foot off the gas, whether it's sitting down their starting quarterback or, you know, just going into a vanilla-based defense. Like, that's not going to twist it. It could, as bad as it is, it could be worse. It could be worse.
Right. And think about what you're saying.
I can't even watch the Giants. At least, you watch Rodgers. Like, you know, I'm not saying saying the Jets are fun. I'm not saying the Jets are fun either. But if you take any non-biased football observer, which team is more interesting? They both stink. But at least, like, the Jets feel like there's a little flair, a little something. Giants are the most boring team I've ever seen.
Right. They're not only bad, they're boring as well, which is the worst thing you could be. Anthony's calling from Jersey City. What's up, Ant?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real fast, you know how it goes way past the even the coaching and the GM? The Giants are so unserious that after Sunday's loss, somebody from the Giants PR, the Giants themselves, reach out to a Giants podcast, Talking Giants, to ask them to take down a video that they went through every move of what Joe Shane has done since he got here. They asked them to take the video down, and if not, they will no longer help them out.
Is that
so
true?
I got to investigate that.
Yeah, I will
have to look into that.
I love that podcast. I love Talking Giants, those guys, Bobby Skinner specifically. I've talked to him before. I've had him on the WFAN Daily podcast. I'm going to hit him up to find out if that's accurate. I don't know that that's the case. I'm not going to run with that. Also, that's not, like, that's side issue problems. Let's focus on real problems. And just to reiterate, to your point, BT, I don't like coming on the air saying these guys should lose their
job. I hate saying it.
A matter of fact, just to reiterate again, I wanted to keep them early in the year through the storm after week one, where everybody was saying, oh, the pitchfork's going to be out and these guys, it's going to the wheels are going to come off. And I'm like, come on, what are you kidding me? Whether it's Connor Hughes or Pat Leonard, guys who I like and I'm friendly with, coming after Dable hard after week one. I'm like, no, I believe in these guys. I think they'll be competitive. Right, week two, I'm making a case for them. Week six, week seven, like, I just can't do it anymore. Their record speaks for itself. There's no. Do I really think it's proper to evaluate a general manager in just 3 years? No, but when you have a 2-12 season and you have a top pick and the decision is, for me, either extend them beyond next year or get rid of them both, I think you have to get rid of them both. Like, they're just in a spot now where, unfortunately, to me, they've left no choice.
You see, the head coach can't hide. Like, if the season ends and they're 2-15 or 3-14 and Brian Dable's on the sidelines week one next year, and they're down, you know, 14-3. Like, you have whatever, 17-3, 20-7, and it's just ugly right away. You've got a problem on your hand that you'd have to address within the first month of the season. That's how loud and how detectable the venom would be. So the head coach can't hide, which is why I believe that Mara is more inclined to get rid of Dable than Shane. All right.
I believe that too, by the way.
Okay. Now let's get to the general manager. Yes, he's a little bit more in the weeds outside of the Hard Knocks, though they won't do that this year. But now I get to the objective analysis of the general manager and the job that he's actually done. Forget about being, you know, front and center for the coaches or for the fans to attack whatever or voice their displeasure. The resume, the bullet points favorably on Joe Shane's resume, they're barely there. So it's like you almost can't bring the head coach back because it's almost unfair to start another season that way because the fans are disgusted and the general manager shouldn't be back because he hasn't been very good at his job.
The defense rests, like, there's nothing else to say there. And the fact that they would consider half-weighing it just shows you that this is what they keep doing. They've done this for years. That's the problem, Mr. Mara. That don't halfway it. Make a decision like a big boy, a tough decision. Either you want to keep them, good. We'll disagree with it, but keep them or fire them. Do not halfway it.
I want to get to this coming up next. Yeah. A little sliver of hope that he actually will do the right thing, and I'll tell you why. And there's a little evidence, and it's recent evidence. I'll tell you what it is coming up.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls as well. 888-808-1019. Back on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. As we're talking Giants this morning, I just can't believe that they would consider doing the one thing in my mind they can't do, splitting Dable and Shane up, either keep them both or get them both out. I would not split them up. What do you got for me, BT, before the break? You tease something here?
I did. Yeah, and again, it seems unfathomable that one or both would be back. They really haven't earned that right. But so Mara, at this point, after a long, lean decade, does not have a lot of equity in the court of public opinion with Giant fans. That is dissipating fast, okay? However, if you want a little glimmer of hope that maybe you're selling Mara a little short, and that maybe he's prepared to do the right thing, even if it seems unconventional in the minds of Giants fans, is that, remember, when he stepped out of the Giants building to hire Shane and Dable, that for him, that represented a pretty radical line of thinking, like an abrupt shift in something he never wanted to do, something he was never comfortable with. He did it. Now, it hasn't worked, obviously. The first year was fun. The last two have been an eyesore disaster. But I don't know that this necessarily represents a complete 180 in how he views business moving forward. And I don't know if this will apply to maybe doing the right thing, but also maybe doing the hard thing by getting rid of both and then having to go through all the hiring process again. But the fact that he He changed the way he does business a couple of years back. To me, at least that door's a little ajar that he's evolving. And if he is evolving, then that should lead to something that I think most Giant fans want and need.
It is very difficult, BT, because I do, at my foundation of beliefs, my core beliefs, I like the idea of promoting from within. I just think any organization is healthier and better when bringing up people through the ranks. The problem is when the Giants, they really screwed up by firing Coughlin. That was a major, major, major mistake. And then they screwed up because they kept Jerry Reese after firing Coughlin. And then the real screw up might have been the McAdoo-Fis thing. Like, I didn't like McAdoo-Fis that hire. But in hindsight, had they stuck through with that, maybe that would have been the right thing to do. And then they could have had their consistency, sustainability within the organization.
His vision was on point.
And then once, right, but they didn't want to believe it.
So
again, they're halfwaying it. Like, you hired the guy. Do you believe in him or not? You do, but wait. Oh, no, no, you can't do that to Eli. No, 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 that's where you cross the line. No, this is his vision. Mm-hmm. This is what he's thinking, so let him do that. Again, who knows how it would have played out long term, but in hindsight, all those things were mistakes, which led to then more mistakes. And then chasing it, and Gettleman, and Shurmur, and moving on from Shurmur, who, by the way, was probably the best thing for Daniel Jones. Like, Shurmur and Daniel Jones, his best year, aside from the rookie mistakes, interceptions, fumbles, whatever, as far as the offense goes, Pat Shurmur was the best thing for Daniel Jones in all the 6 years that he's been here. He had his best year with Pat Shurmur, but Shurmur couldn't handle New York. Like, each guy had a legitimate weakness, but they kept reacting to said weakness and chasing somebody else, and each move they made kept being the wrong one, which is why I wanted them to stay course here. However, it's gotten so bad that the risk reward is just not there for keeping these guys on when they've proven in 3 years, like, not only have they not proven themselves to be good, it's god awful in 3 years.
Yeah, it's just, and listen, it doesn't really do anybody any good to always regurgitate the past, but for this conversation, I think it's fairly paramount because it leads us to where we are today. The one thing I will say, and I will defend the Giants here, is that the McAdoo Eli stuff, I mean, we can make it seem easy in a radio studio. That's tough, man. I mean, think about Patrick Ewing at the end when Don Nelson wanted to take the ball out of his hand and run the offense through Mace, or even at the end with Spree in Houston.
Well, the Knicks screwed that up, too, by trading Ewing away.
That's true, too, yeah. Or even the Jeter last contract negotiation, which was not very clean with him and Cashman. I mean, you have a decaying legend, and Eli clearly was not the same player. And McAdoo's vision was right. Hey, we got to pull the plug on this. We've got to advance our offense. We got to go with some young juice here. The execution was sloppy with Geno, but the thought was right.
Correct, but that's a hard. Remember, how you saying like the hard things to hear and the hard decisions to make?
Yeah,
that it's not easy to hear that your franchise quarterback, a legend who's won you 2 Super Bowls, Hall of Famer, the head coach. So you hired him for a reason. And if he's telling you it's over, we need to move on. All right, it was sloppy the way that it went down, and maybe that was his biggest mistake, but he was right. And Mara didn't want to believe it.
Correct.
And then he gets involved, and then he gets Gettleman, who sold him what he wanted to hear. Mm. This could be saved with Eli.
Yep.
Which then led to drafting a running back, number 2 overall.
And here we are.
Disaster after disaster after disaster, and here we are, right? And now he's got to make the decision. This is only a decision that Mara can make within himself. He is the one who hired Shane and Dable. He is the one who's seen this play out now over 3 years. And by the way, he also could be the one who forced the hand with Daniel Jones for a certain extent. So he's the one who's got to make this decision. Hey, I believe, despite the smoke, I believe in these two guys. I'm sticking with them. I don't think, though, he could. And if he did that, I'm okay with that. I disagree with it, but I'm okay with it. I don't think he could say, well, I believe in one of you, but not the other. Because if you believe in Shane, Shane believed in Dable and believes in Dable. There's no way Joe Shane, if he had his choices, would fire Brian Dable.
No, especially given their personal relationship in Buffalo.
So then if you believe in Shane, then why would you move on from Dable?
Well, it depends how much the trust in Dable has deteriorated. If it's gone completely, well, that's why you move on. If it's lost a little bit of the zest, and it has to because they're the worst offense in football, then I don't know, maybe if you really truly believe in Shane and you think that maybe there's something salvageable, but even though you're grossly disappointed with Dable, maybe that's the inner justification. I don't know. Here's a real-life analogy we could all relate to. The Giants are chasing, and they're chasing at the casino. They're chasing that face card, that ace, and they're chasing the Sunday night game. And when you chase, you usually lose. So they leave the casino, guys.
Well, they can't walk away because they have to make a decision. I think it's a great analogy.
Sick here. Everybody's sick here. Don't tell me.
No, you're sick. I don't want to hear it.
Everybody's sick.
Yeah. Well, not us.
I feel
not
well,
yet.
You're going I feel down? It a little bit.
Oh no.
I feel the cough.
My wife and daughter have been sick. I'm avoiding that.
You still hanging in there?
Yeah, well, I mean for now, knock on wood. I don't want to get sick next week. If
no,
anything, give it
I know.
To me now.
I know.
Take me now.
I know. It's the first time I've really felt it a little bit. I mean, I'll plow through it. I'm not really too worried, but I notice everybody is sick around here again.
Boomer sounds like crap.
He sounded terrible for 3-4 days.
Jerry was saying C Mac is sick.
is pretty sick. Okay.
So, all right, point is though, you can't walk away. I agree with you, they're chasing. I think it's a perfect word.
Yeah, just put the cards down and leave. Go get the buffet, get some sleep.
Meaning
you get rid of both. That's what I mean. Stop chasing mistakes, start over.
I think you could also make the case the other way though. Stop chasing. I believed in these guys.
You could. I just wouldn't. You could. I don't believe that.
And I wanted to do that, but they've given me every reason to. I can't at this point. I will come back, get back to the calls. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Yeah. BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT's about to break out some karaoke right now.
I love Tina. All right, so a lot of people need to know, Sal. I got a question for you here.
Yeah.
Did you find the tree? Did you get the Christmas tree, buddy?
It's funny you should ask that.
Because I got a text from you implying that you did not, but I don't know how resourceful you were after the text that you sent me, buddy.
So who's the guy that said, oh, no problemo, go right down in town, there's a spot open. So I called them before my SNY show yesterday at 5:30. I'm like, yeah, I need to get a Christmas tree. What time are you guys open till? Oh, sorry, we close at 6. Close at 6? It's Christmas season! My show starts at 6. I don't even get home till 8 o'clock. Close at 6.
That sounds like a no, by the way, so you don't have it yet.
I do.
Now you got one. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Mitchell in Fort Lee just dropped it off at my house.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He offered yesterday.
Didn't.
He heard us talking about it. He said, Sal, I'll get you the tree if you want.
No way.
I said, Mitch, you really don't have to. Come on. I'll go get the tree myself. I really appreciate it, but I don't worry about it. I was telling my wife, hey, can I take off? You want to take off SNY Wednesday or Friday, maybe get the tree? And she's like, no, don't do that, whatever. You know, Sammy's still sick or whatever. I was like, Mitch, I might need to take you up on that offer. He was texting me this morning, sending me pictures of the tree.
Who you were on the phone with in the office? Come on, man. Hop, did you hear this?
Yeah.
Mitch went and got his tree for him.
I appreciate it. Mitch's a good friend.
Mitch is a great guy. I met him the other night in the Coliseum. Great guy.
Sent him the Venmo. I was like, tell me what it is. I need a 7-footer. Make sure they cut a little off the bottom. Drop it off by the garage.
I mean, this guy's got servants for him at this point.
I mean, let's be serious here. Jeez. I think Mitch will do anything for you. Well, there's a bad, rough night. I think he's getting the first call.
I said, Mitch, if you don't mind on your way back from picking up the tree, can you get my wife a birthday card, too?
Now, I got a question for you, Sal.
Mitch, it's a good one, like heartfelt.
Do some read them all, buddy. Come on, spend a good hour. You know, I don't care if it's $8 or $9, which all the cards are at this point. So, quick question, though, before we get back to these giant calls.
I can't believe I actually did this. My father would kill me.
Wow.
I had no choice.
You did.
It's December 17th.
Yeah, I did have another choice. I'm not going to belabor it because you finally got the freaking tree. But what you could have done was, now, my buddy who texted me and gave you the place where you live.
Right.
Apparently, as you said, they're open until 6. But, Sal, there are when you're driving home, you get off, whether it's 2:00 or whatever. But don't you see these places that are open all night?
No, I couldn't find them.
Oh, my God.
See, on Long Island, I knew where they were because I lived there for years. In Jersey, I'm looking and I'm like,
I see them everywhere.
I don't see any of them. Right. And then I search all my way home. I'm like, let me just search. And I searched tree farms or whatever.
Tree
half
farms.
Hour away. I'm like, I'm starving.
This is
screw this tree. Yeah. I need to go eat. Yeah. I want to go home and eat. Maybe watch a little Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Those games stunk, by the way.
Yeah, they were atrocious.
So why didn't you, in a world where we can order food to our door via apps and order, gifts and products from halfway across the world, why did you not order a tree?
Well, I kind of did.
Well, but I mean, that's not so demeaning to Mitchell. Nah, I'm just kidding, Mitch.
No, he offered.
Good God almighty.
Yeah, now he wants it. He's like, I just wanted an invite when the tree goes up.
He's trying to weasel his way into the celebration. No. How much was that? Let me guess, 7-footer? You don't even know what kind it is. So you don't. If I say balsam fir, you won't even know. Douglas. I'm going to say it was 100.
Yeah, that's what I...
About a hundo?
I think it was, with tip, it was like $90.
Tip for Mitchell or tip for the guy the tree?
Right, tip for Mitchell, it total was $100.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
He said it was $90. I sent him $100. Mm. Hey, give him some Surfside or something next time I see him.
Wow.
But yeah, thank you. I gotta get it done. I mean, I gotta be efficient here.
Resourceful, yes. It's nothing I would be proud of, though, at that point.
I'm not proud of it.
All right.
I'm not proud of it. My wife did give approval. Once she gave the approval last night,
yep.
She said, he would do that? Nice. Oh,
so that's all that matters. Yeah, that's true, but...
She's sick, Sammy's sick, they don't want to be bothered. Yeah, really, what I should have said was, honey, you're home all day. You drop Sammy off at school.
You go get it.
Yeah, I'm all for equality.
Chainsaws in the garage.
You don't even have to take it off. Just have the guys throw it on top of the roof. Tie it to the roof of your truck. I'll get it off when I get home, but you can go pick it up.
Now you have a beautiful new home, and a 7-footer is a pretty decent size, and I'm sure Mitch found the good one. But the joy that you don't get, and this is what is unforgivable... Dad to dad, man to man.
Yeah.
Is cutting it off the top of the car, that little white rope that's a pain in the ass to get off. Yeah. Cut that, snip it, ding dong, walk in the house.
I know.
Wifey and baby see daddy coming home with the big tray.
I could still do that except it's a stranger. The snip part. No, it's still outside. You didn't bring it in.
Watch Mitchell sitting by the fireplace right now having hot cocoa decorated.
Mitch, just wait there tonight. Help me get it in the stand.
Yeah,
and why don't you put the balls on it, too?
While you're at it, exactly. Go fill it up with water, put the tree stand, and drop an aspirin in it.
Let's get back to the Giants calls. Frank is calling from Orlando. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's up, guys? Let me start off by saying I completely respect you both. I respect what you're saying, but that's where I got to stop because I can't disagree more that Dable and Shane, they don't need to go. Mara's got to stop meddling, butting in. Yep, McAdoo was a jerk, but
he wasn't a jerk. Yeah,
pull the plug. You know what? I don't know. Maybe he was socially inept. Put it to you that way. He couldn't handle certain things.
They couldn't wear a suit that fit to the opening press conference. I mean, my God.
That's right.
You're a millionaire. You're the head coach of the Giants. You can't find a suit that fits? We all should have known it was over from that point.
Eli had to stop. Eli had to stop, step down. Gino was maybe not the right move at the time.
Yeah.
But if I remember correctly, the rumors came out that McAdoo was the only one screaming for Mahomes in the draft.
That's true.
That's another part.
That's true.
And Frank,
can I ask you a question? So I get it, and we've done it as well, just to connect the dots and have this Giants thread of ineptitude. So we've gone to the past as well. You called, though, and you said that Dable and Shane should not be fired. I respect that. That's your opinion. I get that. But you haven't told me what they've done to deserve a return or another year. You've told me about the day, McAdoo and the suit and the other stuff, and he's a dope. What have these guys done?
So here's what they've done. Very simple.
Okay.
You have three failed head coaches 2 years in a row. So what is that? 2, 4, 6 years failed head coaches. You brought in Dable. What did he do? He took a quarterback he didn't really want, and he made it work.
Yep.
Somehow manufactured coach of the year, manufactured a playoff run, went to Minnesota, beat Minnesota.
Right, then what? Get to the good part. Yeah, then what?
The end.
Okay, so then you lost. Right. But now you're stuck with a quarterback you didn't really want, but
Frank,
Mara
they've had 2 years since then. They haven't even. They're 2-12.
How do you argue the owner when the owner says I got to give this guy a shot? We've screwed him up. We've had too many coaching changes. Too many this. But this guy
Frank,
that you brought
you're,
in,
you're missing. But you're missing the point. They're not 2-12 because of Daniel Jones.
No, they're 2-12 because Mara kind of held their hands. You have no real talent. You have no real depth.
Yeah.
And
Frank, hold on a second, Frank.
Quarterback.
I think that they're 2-12, and thanks for the call there, buddy. I think they're 2-12 because the GM hasn't got enough good players, and that's it. I think most people kind of feel that way. You don't have to. I respect that. But you still haven't really told me what they've done well.
Well, he just said they're 2-12 because they stink. They don't have any depth or good players. Yeah, okay, well, whose fault is that?
It's another excuse.
It's their fault. They built this team. Shane and Dable built this team. Their handprints are all over this thing. Is it fair to properly evaluate a general manager in just 3 years? Probably not, but you know what? You could be more competent. Like, some of the worst that we've seen, some of the worst GMs that we've seen, freaking Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh didn't have this bad a year. 2-12?
No. No.
I mean, the first year with Zach Wilson was bad. I don't remember the exact.
I think it was 7 wins. Maybe it was Saleh won 7.
Like, this is not Adam Gase level bad.
Even Gase won 7-9 1 year.
Yeah, but his second year was bad. But think about that. Like, this is. beyond. I defended Shane and Dable after last year. I defended them after the slow start this year. I cannot defend them anymore.
Yep. I don't want to hear the excuses. Oh, what'd you get on your test? Oh, you got a 73. Well, the teacher didn't do a good job teaching or communicating, or I didn't feel well, or kids were talking when I was trying to focus. Fantastic. You got the 73. That's on you.
Ben is in Brooklyn. What's up, Ben?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Listen, I'm not going to go as far as the previous caller of saying that Dable and Shane are just like puppets of Mara, and it's not their fault at all. I will push back a little on you, BT, as me personally, as a lifelong Giants fan.
Yeah.
I do think that as bad as things have looked and gotten, we have seen franchise QBs turn things around, and if they've identified Cam Ward or Shador, yeah, and thank God, hopefully they'll win another game, as their guy, then as bad as a stench is, do you really remember in a bunch of months from now how bad with a dumb plane flying overhead? Which, by the way, I don't need to defend John Mara, he's a multi-billionaire, but to blame Mara for hiring Dable and Shane out of the Bills organization.
Well, listen, Ben, hold on a sec, though, Ben. I'm not going to really care about the plane. I don't get too wrapped up in that. Obviously, I know that it's now twice and it's probably going to be the third time here. You know who won't forget it as easily? The owner. And I'm not saying that that should be the impetus for change, that, okay, hey, listen, public sentiment, but it's, at some point you've got to at least, you know, read the tea leaves of your fan base, which at this point, and now you're a little counter to what I think a lot of Giant fans think at this point, but I'm still waiting for the first person to call up and say, here's what Brian Dable has done well. Here's what Joe Shane has done well. We could sit here all day,
right,
and we could go in circles about other things, how the organization's malfunctioned and missed on that, and this is the reason, and this is their fault, that this. Okay, fantastic. I got it. There's always circumstances. There's always reasons for things to occur that might be out of your control. But you control who you draft. You control who you develop. The Giants are the worst team in football. There's nothing to debate. They're not going to win 6 or 7 games, which would be a disappointment. They're probably going to win 3, most likely 2. I don't know how you ignore that.
And you would ask me early on when I was defending Dable, okay, well, why? And I said, well, year one, obviously. And then even last year, I thought there were signs of a team that was just ravaged by injury, but he kept them together. They were playing hard. They ended up winning some games. Okay, yeah, well, it cost them a top pick, sure. But if I'm defending Dable, I saw a team that I thought was well coached a year ago.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. Like, mm-hmm. There's nothing I could say to fight you off on what do I believe in Dable in. That's legit or that's tangible based off of this year. Same goes for Joe Shane as well.
Yeah, and by the way, I try not to operate this way, though I have in the past. If you tell us that you just have a gut feeling that these men are going to get the job done, all right. I mean, I'm not exactly hang my hat on that, but I'm not going to shout you down. But again, it goes back to the inability to actually point to tangible stuff for a reason to return.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue with your calls. Working the Jets part of the conversation. Want to get some baseball as well. 888-808-1019.